Hallelujah. Let's give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's always a privilege to share with you, and this afternoon is not an exception. God is good. And all the time. This morning I want to share with you what God laid on my heart a few weeks, I think probably about 3-4 weeks ago. And it's to do with taking off your sandals. Remember God's command to Moses and the same to Joshua. Take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. When you think of a sandal, what comes to mind? Something that makes you... Straps? Yeah? Makes you comfortable? Summertime? Yeah? Good. Sandals are something that you put on your feet. Nobody likes walking with their bare feet. Who does? You do. Well, not on the streets, except you belong to a particular white garment sect. But as far as I know, especially in this country, I mean, the ground is always very cold. You don't want to. So it's like when you take off your sandals, you are in a way coming out of your comfort zone. Sandals, anything that acts, I believe, as a barrier between what God wants to accomplish in our lives is represented in the sandal. Sandals are very unclean, you know. I mean, especially in those days when you walk in very dusty roads, you probably pick up some donkey poo on your sandals. And that's why in those days, you know, people had to remove their sandals before coming into someone's house. So when God said to Moses, let's go to the book of Joshua. Sorry, Exodus. Exodus 3 and verse 5. Exodus 3 and verse 5. And I believe that in this year of our go, this apostolic year, this year of go, God is sending us out for a reason. God has called us to go for a reason. But I believe at the same time that until we take off our sandals, so to say, take off everything that will hinder us from what God wants to do through us, then we cannot go for God. God wants to remove everything that is unclean in our lives. Everything that makes us unclean. Jealousy, pride, strife, fear, anger, whatever it is that holds you back. God is saying to us, he wants us to remove our sandals. The things that we do, sometimes that we feel uncomfortable with. The things that happen in our lives or that has happened in our lives that continue to hold us back. The things of the past that continue to rear its ugly head. God is saying it's time to take off your sandals, for the place where he's sending you is holy ground. God is saying that the things he wants to do through us, until we take off our sandals, which represents the things that are around us in the physical, you know, we are going out to a world that is dying. Until we kind of link up with God in the spiritual realm for the things he wants to do, God cannot use us. And we're going to go into the book of Exodus and see in the life of Moses how God called him and how he responded to God's call. You know, I said earlier on, sandals provide comfort. God wants us to leave our comfort zone. I mean, when you're at the airport, and it happens to me as well, when you're asked to take off your shoes or if you're putting on sand, I feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's like you are exposed, isn't it? But you have to be exposed before the King of Kings before he can use you. You have to make yourself vulnerable before God before he can use you and I. And one way of saying to God that, Lord, I have laid down everything because I want to take on what you have for me is what happened to Moses and Joshua as well. And we'll get there in a minute. When we take off our sandals, we can begin to see things from God's perspective and recognize his plans. Taking off our sandals, I believe, involves dying to self, relinquishing control, tuning into God's voice, humility and vulnerability, which I mentioned earlier on, before God and others. Exodus 3. And I read from verse 5. And Moses, we all know about Moses, and we all know about this experience he had with God. The Bible says, and I begin to read from verse 23, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. And so God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. God did four things here. From verse 24, the Bible says, God heard. And the Bible says, God remembered. And verse 25 says, and God looked upon, and then God acknowledged them. He heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant. He looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. Chapter 3. And now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Remember, Horeb, the meaning of Horeb is a dry place or a desolate place. You see, the Bible says, take off your sandals, for the place where you are is holy ground. What makes the ground holy? It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God in that place that makes the place holy. It's not as if it's like a shrine or something, you know. It's the presence of God in that place that makes it holy. The Bible says, talks about Horeb. I said Horeb, the meaning of Horeb is a dry place or a desolate place. But when God comes, when the presence of God comes into a place, he turns it around. When the presence of God comes, when you allow the presence of God to come into your life, it turns every desolate situation, every dry place, into something that is useful for him. Remember again, that is at this same Horeb, a dry place, a desolate place, that God commanded Moses to strike the rock and water came forth. When we lay our lives down for God, when we say, God, you are in control, is able to turn every desolate place, every dry place, into a place that brings forth water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses. Exodus 3:5. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is God introducing himself to Moses. The first time Moses is having an encounter with God. And God was telling him, you know what, Moses, relax. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Relax, you're in a good place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. We don't want to go into, but I go straight down to verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, the Bible says that Pharaoh had died in Egypt. And God said, it is time for you to go to Egypt. Remember, Moses tried to, he killed an Egyptian. That was 40 years prior to this time. And he went into exile, if I can use that word. And then he got married. And 40 years after this, God called him. 40 years ago, when he killed the Egyptian, he ran for his life. But I understand that in those days, when a Pharaoh dies, everything, every charge against you is dropped. And so he knew that it was okay for him to return to Egypt. When God called him, God planned it so he knew that Moses could have no excuse. The only excuse he could have then was to say, I can't go back, but you know I'm going to be killed. But God made sure that Pharaoh had died, and so he could return. But yet, as we will see in a few minutes, Moses was still not willing to go. He did not agree to go just like that. He came up with excuses, just like you and I. When God calls us, we will always find one reason or the other not to go ahead and do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Verse 11, chapter 3, the same Exodus. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Again, if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. I don't blame Moses. If you look back in chapter 2 and verse 14, and that was after he killed the Egyptian and he was trying to sort out the problem between these two Hebrew men. And one of them said to him, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian as well? Again, if we look at, I believe it's Acts chapter 7, 33. Then the Lord, this is Stephen. This is Stephen's account of what happened with the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, this is Stephen talking, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This Moses, this Kamau, this Pete, this Alero, is the same. These people are the same people that God wants to use in this year of go. We are the people of God. God has called us and he finds no fault in us because he is God. I believe, you know, this year of go, we're going out because we want to win souls. We want people to come to a knowledge and an understanding of God. After 40 years, God called Moses to go to the land of Egypt. What was happening to the children of Israel in Egypt? They were in bondage. They were slaves. Anyone that has not come to a knowledge and an understanding of God is in bondage. And so when we go out, when God sends us, as God has sent us out, God is sending us out to set people, to set the captives free, to release people from bondage. The same call that was upon Moses. Moses is, in this case, Moses was meant to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. God is sending us out into the world to set his people free from bondages and oppression. And in the same vein, Joshua, after 40 years, we'll go to that in a minute, with the children of Israel in the wilderness. The first battle was that of gaining control of Jericho. What was Joshua's mandate? To take the children of Israel to the promised land. When we set people free from bondages, from oppression, we are bringing them into the promises of God for their lives. And so God has, you know, God has given us so much responsibility. He's given us the job. I mean, he gave Moses half of the job and Joshua half of the job. God is giving us the two together. Moses only delivered the people. He brought them out of captivity. Joshua took them into the promised land. He took them into their promises, God's promises for their lives. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Moses. And Exodus, remember we're talking about the fact that Moses was coming up with excuses, you know, but God is not interested in our excuses. God said to him in verse 12 of chapter 3, so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses went to his father-in-law. And this is Exodus 4, verse 18. And so Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. I don't know why Moses decided to say what he said. Probably he was using wisdom. And he didn't, because God said to him, I'm sending you to Egypt to set my people free. But he said to his father-in-law, I want to go and see I want to go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. Of course, God had told him earlier on, if you look in verse 14, it says, so the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses and he said, it's not Aaron, the Levite, your brother, I know that he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. So he knows God had told him that his brother was alive. But I believe that probably he was using wisdom in not wanting to reveal the purposes of God for him to his father-in-law for whatever reason. You know, sometimes when God gives us a strategy, when God gives us something he wants us to do, I think it's good sometimes to just know what we do with what God has revealed to us. And I believe that this was the case in the what happened in the case of Moses. You know, verse 11. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." God, when he sends us on a mission, he does not send us empty-handed. God sends us with a purpose and equips us for what he's sending us to accomplish. Hallelujah. You know, but I know it's tough going out there. One thing that I always, affects me in terms of reaching out to people is rejection. You know, you think when people, oh, no, I don't want to know. You know, it kind of cuts me. It's like when people say that to you, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, why are they doing this to me? You know, why are they saying this? You know, so in a way, we all have something that we can hold on to as an excuse. But like I said earlier on, God is not interested in our excuses. God has called us to go, and go we must. Hallelujah. Taking off your sandals means we are trusting God absolutely to do his work through us. Sometimes we might even have to lay down our own plans and strategies for God's plan. Let's look at Joshua, the second person that God asked to take off his sandals. And I know that when God called Moses and asked him to take off his sandals, this was before he sent him on a massive mission of bringing out the children of Israel from captivity after over 400 years. That's a massive mission. And so, taking off his sandals, Moses had to do that. Moses had to know that he could not do this on his own. He had to put aside everything that had to do with the flesh. He had to begin to see things from God's perspective. And that's the only way we can operate. And the same with Joshua as well. I asked myself, why is it that God asked these men to take off their sandals at the point in which he was going to use them mightily? Joshua was about to engage the first major battle in entering, in taking possession of the promised land. And God again asked him, take your sandals off. Take the focus off yourself. Take the focus off what you want to accomplish. Look to me, because I am the one sending you. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 5, and I'll read from verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. And on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho, and the earth of the produce of the land on that day after the Passover." And I go to verse 13 of Joshua chapter 5. "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And so he said, 'No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell to his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. The Bible says in verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Why was Joshua by Jericho? They were advancing. They wanted to take hold of that land. How do I know? Joshua asked the angel of the Lord, said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Well, if you're not going to war, if you're not preparing for war, why would you ask that question? And then when the angel of the Lord revealed to him that he should take his sandals off, the Bible says, Joshua said, what does my Lord say to his servant? And that's when the commander of the Lord's army said, take your sandals off. And the Bible says, and Joshua did so. And we all know the rest of the story. He was given specific instructions as to how Jericho was going to fall. He took off his sandals and he said to the commander of the Lord's army, what does my Lord say? In other words, he's saying, whatever strategy I had in store, whatever strategy I had in mind to take Jericho, I put it aside. And so, what does my Lord say? And the Bible says, he did what the Lord said for him to do. And we all know that Jericho fell. When God calls us, God calls us for a purpose and equips us. Everything that will hinder us, everything that will stand against what God wants to accomplish through us, we must take off. When God was going to use Moses, he took off his sandals. When God was going to use Joshua, he said, take off your sandals. What is it in your life that you have to take off in this year of go? What have you got on you that should not be on you so that God can use you? When God said to Moses, Pharaoh is dead. You know, the only time that Moses finally agreed to go was when God said to him, those who seek you are dead. The Bible says, quickly, let's turn to it. Exodus chapter 3 again. Sorry, Exodus chapter 4. Exodus 4 and verse 19. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. The Bible says in verse 20, then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. All along, Moses had been given excuses. You know, I can't do this. I'm not competent. I can't talk. I can't do this. And I believe, you know, when God now said, okay, you know what, Moses? I think I know your problem. You are afraid of going back to that land because, you know, you fear for your life. Okay, those who seek your face, those who seek to kill you, they are dead. And the Bible says this very next verse, Moses took his wife and he started the journey back to Egypt. God is looking for a people who will hearken to his call. God is looking to you and me in this year of go to hearken to his call. He has called us for a reason. And the one who called us is more than able to equip us. He has given everything that we need for us to go out there and reach out to the lost. We have everything in Christ. Are you willing to take off your sandals? What is it that God is telling you to do away with so that he can use you? My prayer for myself and for you is that we will hear the voice of God just like Moses and Joshua did in this year of go. That we'll be willing to take off our sandals, whatever it is that represents that sandals in our lives. and be ready for the call of God. When God calls us, He equips us. And our God is faithful all the time. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You that You have called us for a reason and for a purpose. And Lord, Your calling is irrevocable. We thank You, Lord, God Almighty, that today, everything that will hinder us from that call, everything that will hold us back, Lord, I pray that we will be willing, ready to lay those things aside. Whatever it is in our lives that represents those sandals, everything that will hold back the presence of God in our lives, everything that will not enable God to do what He wants to do through us, Father, we lay aside. We lay them aside today. And we say, Lord, what have You to say? Just like Joshua said. Here we are, O Lord. Use us. Father, we thank You. We give You praise. We bless Your name. Thank You, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you.